and if you want to feature, welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling great. It's everyone's most anticipated podcast of the whole summer, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Bated breath.
31st ranked this year. Thank God for Washington. Not an expression that you hear every day nowadays. Washington, traditionally, they say first in war, first in peace, last in the American League. This year, I guess we're last in everything, including the NFC, but including in the very concept of coming up with a name for your team. But we're not here to talk about the Washington professional football team today. We're here to talk about the AFC equivalent. Is that what they are? I don't know. Who's the AFC equivalent of the Washington? Or is that too insulting to consider any team? Akiva, am I speaking too much about Washington, given the fact that this is a Jaguars podcast? Should we stop talking about Washington?
Speaking of Washington, so Jay Gruden is their offensive coordinator. Didn't he get into trouble? I guess he kept his job.
But he got in trouble for what? You'll have to tell me, because I don't remember.
Let's introduce our guest. Maybe he could give us the skinny. If not, I'll do it.
Right, so we have a new guest to talk about the Jaguars this year.
Absolutely.
Michael Higgins, welcome to 32 Fans.
Family. Hey, guys. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here, talk some Jaguars. That might make me one of the only people that has a pulse that can use a microphone that can say that. So,
well, maybe you're here to steal the show.
No.
Whatever happened to that woman, by the way?
What woman?
The Jaguars woman.
What Jaguars woman is there?
Oh, my God.
The meme lady. Oh, you love that lady.
Remember how hard I tried to get her on the podcast and it turned out
she was
homeless?
Oh, you love that lady. Yeah.
I love it.
Michael, do you know who we're talking about?
I actually don't know who you're talking about. What?
Explain.
You a Jaguars fan?
Yeah, I'm a Jaguars fan.
First of all, do you live in Jacksonville? What's the source of your Jaguars fandom?
He's in New York.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Well, I'm actually in Connecticut. So that actually makes me one of the only people probably in New England that is a Jaguars fan. But my history with the Jaguars is actually, I was born in Pittsburgh, and I actually grew up a Steelers fan. But my parents moved to Jacksonville. My family moved to Jacksonville, and I was like, I'm not going to Jacksonville. There's nothing fun to do there. It's just a lot of, you know, not a lot of great stuff happening down there. But the one thing that I was excited about is like, well, at least I'm within, you know, 20 miles of a football team for the first time in my life, you know, since Pittsburgh. So I started going to preseason games, and they were just kind of my mistress. And then over time, over the last 8 years, they've become like my love. So
interesting. So you could have been a Steelers fan and you became a Jaguars fan. Well,
we have a friend, Alex, we have a friend who was a Jaguars fan who became a Steelers fan when he moved closer to his wife's family, near Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but he's mostly just a fantasy football fan. He doesn't know what
the hell. Yeah, he roots for his fantasy football team.
By the way, I just sent in the chat of this Zoom session the link. Mm-hmm. Michael, you can't be a real Jaguars fan if you've never watched this. So why don't we pause for 30 seconds? I'll pop it into the podcast later.
Jaguars picks, they say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Thank you.
Jaguars. I actually don't think I can.
What do you think about how Mike says Jaguars, Alex?
The Jaguar, I don't do it, but I'm fine.
I think in the early days,
I say
you say Jaguars, which is fine. I think that's how everyone said it in the early days, but now maybe only the diehards say it. I'm not sure.
This lady, I know this lady.
Yeah,
hold on. Yeah,
by the way, I just want to let you know that when you type Jaguars in the letter S into Google, the top thing that pops up is Steal the Show. So that's not Jaguars Super Bowl or. or Jaguars statistics or whatever. All right, Michael's watching. We're watching Michael watch. It's very exciting.
Sorry. Yeah. That lady. I do remember her. Yeah.
You
could have got her.
Trust me. I tried. I paid like $4.99 for some shady website that promises to like find people's information, and it turned out she was a homeless individual, and so it was very hard to track her down. She didn't have easy sources to communicate with.
Right.
Unfortunately. Look, I mean, you know, but being a Jaguars fan is sort of like being homeless,
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, I was going to say that.
Canceled for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Don't say that.
Yeah. No, not to make light, but the Jaguars suck. Last year you lost, midseason, arguably your best player in Jalen Ramsey. After the season, you lose, AJ Bouye, your other, great starting corner. The NFLPA last year had to go to the extraordinary lengths of warning players not to go there. After making just the horrific and mind-bogglingly stupid Nick Foles contract that I was inflamed by at the time, it lasted all of like a game until he got injured, and then they replaced him with Gardner Minshew, who no one ever heard of, but had a good mustache and bandana. And then you tricked the Bears into, giving Foles a job in the offseason, so good on you for that. You tried and failed to trade Leonard Fournette in the offseason. So, tell us, is there any hope for the Jaguars this year, or is it all about the 2021 draft?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at it. And I do think that a lot of people are too low on the Jaguars. We actually start to pull them apart and take a look at some of the key personnel we have in important positions. They're young and they're definitely inexperienced, but there's definitely, I don't think we're going to be a 2-14 team. I don't think we're going to be even a 3-13 team. I think we're more along the lines of last season, probably more of a 6-10 team, but for sure. I think that the problems start with the front office, Dave Caldwell making these horrible deals, signing Nick Foles to an $88 million contract, and amongst of other a lot of things, and a lot of issues with personnel, like you mentioned, Ramsey leaving and fighting with the front office. We have a lot of issues, up top, and that's definitely where it all starts for the Jags.
So then where is the hope for? Why do you think that this team should be, 6-10, which is way over? I mean, the over-under 4.5, lowest in the league. So 6-10 is quite optimistic.
I think you hammer the over. I really do think 4.5 is low on the Jags. And the reason for that is that a couple of the parts that people are really low on specifically are like the Jaguars offensive line. That's one place where we're not replacing any players. We had the same offensive line as last year. Our receivers, we had DJ Chark, who was an outbreak type of receiver who really, gave us a lot of excitement as Jaguars fans. He's a guy that came out of nowhere and, over 1,000-yard season, Pro Bowl season. You have people like, Leonard Fournette's in a contract year. He's going to be performing big if he wants to get signed next year. And amongst other things, I think that there's – the defense is probably going to be, certainly we're not chasing the 2017 Jaguars team, but it's going to be the best defense we've had in a few years.
Do you ever notice that the Jacksonville turns over their whole like receiving group every single season? Doesn't it feel like they have guys who like seem pretty good, but then they turn it over. I mean, so you said Chark, Dede Westbrook, it was like, all right, we know what he is, I think, at this point already. Right, Mike?
Yeah, I think Dede Westbrook's been a big letdown for the most part. Mm-hmm.
He was a fourth round pick. He just looked kind of good at the very beginning.
Right.
It wasn't like he was a super prospect. What have you seen from Laviska Shenault? Because his upside was considered massive when he was in college.
Yeah, Laviska Shenault's definitely going to be like a guy that helps play into Jay Gruden's, West Coast offense. He's someone that in college, lined up in a lot of different positions. He was in the slot. He was out wide. He was playing running back. They put him in at, Wildcat different times. So I think he's going to be a really versatile person in that West Coast offense. But I've heard so far that he's been very explosive. He's been tough to cover. He's a big guy. They say he's built like Leonard Fournette. He's, he's dummy thick, as you would say, Keith. But yeah. he's a big guy. And I think that he's going to be someone that I think Jay Gruden can get really creative with and put into different, different positions around the offense.
They on the defensive side, they drafted, first of all, this team has rookies everywhere. I mean, I don't know if some of these guys aren't going to make the team, but you drafted, I think, a dozen players, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like and only not just a dozen players, but I think 11 of them in the first six rounds where you'd normally expect to make the team. So there's either going to be a million rookies, or you're going to stash some guys on IR or try and sneak them through the practice squad, or it's going to be the youngest team in the league basically. But what have you seen from CJ Henderson, the rookie cornerback, and Kalevon, how do you say Chiasson?
Chiasson? It's Kalevon Chiasson.
Chiasson, the outside linebacker.
Yeah, CJ Henderson's going to be huge, obviously, with both of our corners from last year, Jalen Ramsey and AJ Bouye, off the team. They needed a corner. They needed a good corner. They needed someone that could start right away. CJ Henderson, he's been really good in training camp from what I've heard. He's been, you know, playing DJ Chark a lot. They've been going back and forth. He's definitely going to be our, you know, CB1 kind of guy. He's going to be going against the best receiver on whatever team that we're playing. He's a great cover guy. So I'm excited about him. Kalyvon Chaisson, you know, he's potentially going to be the Ngakoue replacement if Ngakoue doesn't end up signing his contract. He's an edge rusher. He's, you know, super fast, super athletic. He's probably going to be able to help us get a little versatile on defense, change up the Jaguars traditionally run, you know, more of a 4-3 defense. But with guys like, you know, him and Josh Allen, we're going to be able to, you know, potentially change things up on defense a little bit. So Kalyvon Chaisson, I really like our first two picks. I think they're great.
Well, each of the last 2 years, you had drafted a first round pick on the defensive line, Josh Allen and Taven Bryan, who have both, you know, severely underwhelmed. So, you know, obviously you're hoping third time's a charm with Chaisson. I want to talk about the linebackers for a second, because the defensive line, you know, big question marks there also. But the linebackers were, according to Pro Football Focus, not just the worst linebackers in the league last year, but the worst of any unit on any team last year.
Wow.
They were very, very bad. Miles Jack, who I remember once upon a time I wanted the Vikings to draft, he sucked. That you guys gave a ton of money to Joe Schobert. You drafted Shaquille Quarterman, who, by the way, great name there, Shaq Quarterman. Tell us a little bit about how Schobert's looking, how Quarterman's looking, if they can hope to have not the worst unit in the league among their linebackers this year.
Yeah, no, I they definitely were pretty terrible last year. There's no, you know, beating around that. But this year, I do have faith in the linebacking corps. Definitely not going to be good, but going to be serviceable. You know, with the addition of Joe Schobert, he's going to be huge because we had Miles Jack playing middle linebacker last season and the season before, and he's just trash at middle linebacker. He was a really talented, athletic outside linebacker. You know, when Paul Pavlovsky was our middle linebacker, you know, he was outside. He was able to, you know, be a little bit more athletic, and he was really contained at the middle linebacker position and wasn't good. That will allow Miles Jack to move outside, and I think we'll get more of the 2017 Miles Jack as opposed to the 2019 Miles Jack. And yeah, a guy like Shaq Quarterman, probably just going to be, yeah, I agree, great name. Could be backing up Joe Schobert at middle linebacker most likely, but they're definitely still going to be pretty bad.
Now this could age us. This could date us because he has not been traded yet. And I don't know if this is coming, this is going to be posted for, you know, a few days, a week, however long, but what do you expect to happen with Ngakoue in terms of being dealt? It seems like there's a bunch of teams that want him. Maybe they're not willing to pay this, you know, the sort of like Adams level ransom that people have been paying for defensive players going back to Jalen Ramsey last year. What do you think about Yannick Ngakoue being dealt?
Yeah. I mean, there's $17.8 million on the table for him to take if he doesn't play this year. Mm-hmm. So like I'm inclined to think he will play, but he is so, you know, he has such a distaste for the Jaguars organization, specifically, like I mentioned before, the front office. And, you know, he got into a
that's
Twitter
been the
fight
story
with,
for so many of these guys, right? Like Ramsey and
absolutely. Like I don't know what the issue is where we can't just like be a little bit more professional in the front office. But I do think Yannick Ngakoue, he's like, from what I've heard, he's a guy of principle. He's not going to give in. And I do think he'll give up if the Jaguars don't trade him. I do think that he might just opt out and not play. But, you know, like he got into a Twitter fight with Tony Khan, you know, Shad Khan, the Jacksonville Jaguars owner's son. And like, that's what level Jacksonville's at. Like we're getting into Twitter fights with our players, you know, our vice president of football operations. So I think he's going to get traded. But actually, Keith, do you think that the Jets would be interested?
I don't have the draft picks. I think it's a weird move for a team that really has no hope to contend to give up a draft pick for Ngakoue.
Right.
I don't know if he helps them in 2022. So I personally wouldn't. I won't be devastated if they give something up for him because they've got a lot of extra picks. But I think Gruden could pull the trigger. I mean, are you willing to get a second round pick for him? And that's fine.
From what I hear, they want a first round.
You also have to squeeze in that huge contract. I don't know.
Aren't 2021 picks probably going to be less valuable than any draft ever?
Well, how about this? Maybe they're more valuable because like the best guy might go 17th instead of second.
But that's why I think you just want to pile up picks all over.
Yeah, no, they are less valuable because the guy who goes 17th also might. The guy who would go 17th, had he played, might have played himself out of the draft altogether.
Yeah, we have no idea what people are doing. Yeah.
So, yes, these draft picks are definitely.
It's going to be a real crapshoot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the offensive line for a second. So, the offensive line really struggled last year. Cam Robinson, your left tackle, missed two games and somehow still allowed 45 pressures, which was sixth most in the league. Andrew Norwell, who's next to him, is the highest paid guard in football. You know, he's okay, I guess. Their center is probably their best lineman in Linder. But overall, again, a line that really struggled last year. And, you know, with a second-year quarterback and a team that, you know, other than Shark, doesn't have a lot of established, you know, NFL wide receivers downfield, and who's depending on Fournette to run the ball 250, 300 times, what can we see from the line this year?
It's going to be the same five that we had last year. You know, we have had big problems specifically with our left tackle, Cam Robinson. He got injured in 2018, tore his ACL. Last year he came back. He says he wasn't 100% in 2019. So far in this preseason, he said he feels a lot better. I still think he's going to be bad, and he lets up a lot of pressure for a quarterback that, you know, really needs the time. Gardner Minshew has a longer time to throw the ball and a longer release than most quarterbacks in the NFL. And when you have a guy like Cam Robinson at left tackle, that's not a good mix. Andrew Norwell is really not great. He's overpaid. Brandon Linder, like you said, he's really solid. He's been a good center. And then our right guard, A.J. Candy, is kind of replaceable. And Juwan Taylor, it was his first year last year, granted, but he drew some of the most penalties in the league. They're going to be, I think, probably somewhere along the, like, 24th or 25th ranked unit coming out of the season.
Not ideal. Let me ask you a question here. We got a lot of fantasy drafts coming up in the next week to 10 days. Who on this team, other than Fournette and Shark, is there a third player on the Jaguars that you would recommend to people to draft for their fantasy team? Or no, stick them all on the waiver wire.
I think that you take a look at Chris Thompson. We signed him from Washington.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
what the Chris Thompson fantasy experience is. Oh, he has one game with eight. He has one game with eight catches.
Yeah.
Everyone jumps on him, and then he's not healthy again for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's always fun to, like, if you're not watching his game, let's see what Chris Thompson's doing. One run for 2 yards, eight catches for 11 yards.
Well, listen, I can tell you because I had him last year. He was averaging in my league, which is half PPR, 11-point-something points per game. Now, I'm focused on the per-game average because he only had played, like, 2 games total. But I kept desperately trying to trade him to anybody for anything.
Yeah,
like,
he was on the back of a lot of rosters.
Give me $1 a fab. You can't drop a guy who scores 11 points a game when he plays. It's just, you know, he never played. So, but you think we should give him a late-round flyer.
He's also not a real backup, Mike, for Fournette. Like, he's his own.
When healthy, he could get 60 catches on this team easily.
He'll catch a lot of passes. But then who's the backup for Fournette, Mike?
Yeah, Raquel Armstead's going to be the backup for Fournette. He's similar, kind of this, like, hard-nosed, aggressive runner. Chris Thompson, like you said, he's not Leonard Fournette's backup. He's going to be this – Jacksonville really struggled in the red zone and on third downs last year. They were really lowest in the league on both those things. And getting a guy like Chris Thompson, he's played with Jay Gruden. You know, he's familiar with that West Coast offense. He's going to be someone. He's a catching running back. He's going to be able to help us convert some of those third downs and score some touchdowns, I think, in the red zone. So that's where I think that he probably adds some value potentially in the fantasy, position from the Jaguars offense.
You're not a big believer that this is the year that Tyler Eifert finally plays 16 games.
No. Yeah. And
I don't think a Jaguars tight end has been relevant since that one random year when Mercedes Lewis had 10 touchdowns. And then he had zero the next year.
I feel like Damon Jones
had he had zero the next year.
Yeah, Damon Jones had a few good minutes in the late 90s, but I don't know if he put together a full season.
In the late 90s, we're going back to
The Jaguars are not a tight end team, really.
Yeah.
They've never really been a tight end team.
Kyle Brady.
And I don't even think Tyler Eifert's going to start this year. I think it's going to be James O'Shaughnessy. I mean, they're battling it out right now in mm-hmm. camp, but, you know, from what I've heard, you know, James O'Shaughnessy is kind of out showing him in training camp, and he knows this offense a little bit better. Like you said, Tyler Eifert's kind of washed up at this point.
Do you know, Alex, who the backup quarterback to Gardner Minshew is on this team?
Yeah, it's Glennon, right?
Yeah, it just seems like if you're going to go with Gardner Minshew, and I talked about this with you were not there with the Bears guy, and I think those, if you look at, like, the two teams in the league that almost certainly do not have the quarterback of the future on their roster, I think you'd have to say Chicago and Jacksonville are – not that they certainly don't, but I'd say everyone else is ahead of them on the list. Is that a hot take that, you know, Trubisky and Foles or Minshew and – forget about even mentioning Michael Glennon's name. That, you know, the quarterback of the roster on these two teams is not there. Quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I think that we're really, once again, to kind of bring it back to a high level, best case scenario, the Jaguars tank this season and mm-hmm. we, you know, just get Trevor Lawrence in the draft next year. That's best case scenario. And I unfortunately, I'm not even sure that's what's going to happen. But no, I don't think Gardner Minshew is the answer. I think that he's a really fun, exciting player. Like he's really fun to watch. He's explosive. He's going to potentially have a long career in the NFL as kind of a guy that bounces around from team to team. But he's not the answer, and Mike Glennon's just there to back him up. But I think Gardner Minshew is going to be, you know, decent. Let me ask you this, Kiva: would you rather have Sam Darnold this year or Gardner Minshew this year?
Darnold. I'd rather have Darnold.
Yeah, I know. I tried.
That's insulting.
Just thought I'd throw it in there. No, I agree.
I mean, I'd rather probably have Trevor Lawrence next year than Darnold, but you know, I didn't know that was an option.
Okay, all right, I want to throw some Michael, some Jaguars trivia at Michael. He's a fairly young man and relatively young in his Jaguars fandom, so this might be a little bit
even
tough.
Even younger, yeah.
But I'm looking at the 6 leading receivers in Jaguars history. You got 2 running backs, 2 receivers, and 2 tight ends in the top 6. A hint is that both tight ends have been mentioned on this podcast by name in the last few minutes. So you tell me the 6 leading receivers in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars franchise.
You said 2 running backs. Yeah. You know, like you said, I am a new Jaguars fan.
Yeah, well, Keeble like fill in where you miss for your gaps.
In 2000. Maurice Jones-Drew probably is a running back.
Yeah, he's number 4, 335 catches.
Yep. Miller.
Which Miller are we talking about?
What's his first name? Is it... Keith, I'm going to need your help already.
Yeah.
All right. So the running back is probably
the first
MJ
Miller is tight end
Miller,
Zach
right?
Miller with 45
Zach
catches.
Miller. Okay.
Yeah, he had 45 catches in his Jaguars career. So
no. So yeah, so the running backs will be Taylor and MJD.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess receivers or would you rather I go through it, Mike?
Oh, the one definitely that actually in the current receivers coach with the Jaguars is Keenan McCardwell.
Yeah. Keenan McCardwell.
Yeah. And then of course Jimmy Smith, who's
borderline Hall of Famer. Yep.
Yeah, there was a weird documentary.
And
that
then
when
the
I
two
was...
tight ends, both of whom names we've mentioned.
Mercedes Lewis.
Who, yep. And Kyle Brady?
Yeah, Kyle Brady, 6th on this team in receptions all time. Not great.
Yeah.
No, he's a blocking tight end. And well, it wasn't even his main team. His main team was the Jets, I think.
Yeah, well, he's 6th on this team all time in receptions. So there you go. He's 7th on the team all time in yards. And he is, where does he come in touchdowns? He's he's a little bit down below. Oh, he's 10th all time in touchdowns. So yeah, Kyle Brady, an immortal Jacksonville Jaguar.
I wanted to ask. Sometimes Chester forgets to, you know, skips over the coaches. I want to talk about Doug Marrone for a second, Mike. What would you, on a scale of 0 to 10, and elaborate?
Well, hold on. By the way, Akiva, he played twice as long on the Jaguars as the Jets. He was drafted by the Jets, played 4 seasons there, and went.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. He was in Jacksonville for a while, but he was really a blocking tight end in Jacksonville.
I mean, he
just an enormous man, Kyle Brady.
He was one of the leading tight end receivers in the league year. You know, 64 catches one year, so I don't think that's correct. But
yeah. Mike, Doug Marrone, yay, nay, what do you think?
Nay, yeah. I think that, you know, entering his 4th season, he was never meant to be the head coach. He was the interim head coach when Gus Bradley left, and he just kind of kept that place. And I think that he's part to blame for some of the reasons why we're having issues. There was that game last year against Texans where him and Jalen Ramsey are yelling at each other on the sideline. And I think that he's had some poor play calling. I think that he was probably meant to be a defensive coordinator, and that's mm-hmm. where he, is best. And I think that most likely he's probably not the top, but one of the top more likely coaches to get fired this offseason.
So hold on a second. You told us guarantee you got to hammer that over a 4.5, but you haven't been too optimistic at most of the positions.
Yep.
And now you say the coach is getting fired in the offseason.
Well, 4.5 is such a low number, Alex. I don't think that's so crazy.
Well, but if a team goes way over their over under, there's no way that they fire their coach.
That's not true. You could go 6-10 and still fire Marrone.
I mean, 6-10 is still bad for his four, his.
Well, why don't we run through the schedule and see where we can actually find 6 wins? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And so regardless, I'm happy we got rid of Tom Coughlin. He was like,
Well, again, the NFLPA was literally telling players that they couldn't go there. So, yeah, you had to get rid of him. Week 1, you guys are at home against the Colts.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a loss.
Okay, then week 2 at Tennessee.
I'll give us a win.
Oh, they go into Tennessee and win. Wow.
Yep. We always win. We always win. You know, this isn't the Thursday night game that we usually like to see, the Jags Titans on Thursday night, but usually the Titans Jags is the rivalry of the AFC South. Everyone wants
I gotta say, if the Titans are losing at home in week two to Jacksonville, then their return to the playoffs is iffy at best. Week three, you are on Thursday Night Football, short rest against the Dolphins.
I'll give us a win here.
And then week four at Cincinnati.
Loss.
All right, so 2-2, you're at Houston in week five.
Loss.
And then you play the Lions in week six.
Win.
All right, so 3-3 coming into the bye. Doug Marrone, mm-hmm. Coach of the Year candidate at that point. after the bye, you start in Los Angeles against the Rams.
It gets really hard on this back half. Yeah. We'll give us a loss here.
All right. And then Houston the next week. Finish the season series against Houston.
Yeah, I'm gonna give us a win just because I think we can win one of these games against the Texans.
Okay, so 4-4 solidly in the playoff race. You go at Green Bay the next week.
And this is where it really gets ugly for a while. Loss.
Okay, and then Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Cleveland.
I'll go win.
Okay, so 5-6 at Minnesota in December.
That's going to be a loss.
5-7. Tennessee, can you sweep the Titans?
Nope, we'll go 1-1.
All right, 5-8. And then at Baltimore?
Definitely a loss.
5-9. The Bears in week 16.
And we'll lose there.
5-10. And then at Indy to finish the season.
And I think that, you know, I gave us a win in the beginning. I'll give us a loss here. That would put us at, you know, five wins. But I do think that there's a potential.
Still taking me over. Okay.
Right.
I got to say, it's funny because obviously nobody is, you know, I mean, not nobody. There may be some teams selling tickets in limited fashion. But when you go to the ESPN schedule for every team, it still shows like a column for how to buy tickets from Vivid Seats or whoever the sponsors that shows up here. And it shows the price. The Jaguars tickets are dirt cheap. I mean, you can get tickets for $44, $35, $32, $41, $46. I mean, this is the cheapest ticket in the league. And it's not just a home thing. It's on the road. At Tennessee, they're $44. At Cincinnati, $42. At Houston, $35. At Los Angeles, $32. The only ones, you know, at Green Bay is a little more. At the Vikings, a little more. At Baltimore is only $47. Well, Baltimore Ravens home game in December for $47. So if you want to travel around the country watching the Jaguars this year and they're selling tickets in any of these places, you can get in for pretty cheap. So that's an upside.
Wait. And they're happy to have you. Like, they're just happy to sell tickets. And that's the thing. I mean, they'll let you sleep on their couch and buy you a hot dog, let you slide a glizzy. Like, they just want you to come.
Yeah, they just want to steal the show. All right, Keith, what else do we have to say about the Jaguars?
Is there a breakout player, a guy we're maybe not thinking of, Mike, who you think might become a name this year or become, you know, like guy who might not be a starter now, but will be in the lineup, or a person that will get some national recognition in 2020?
I don't know about 2020, but someone I'm excited about is Colin Johnson. We drafted him this year in the 5th round. He's 6'6", and he's definitely going to be a guy that potentially will be, you know, going for those jump balls in the end zone. And I think that he's, just because of his size, is going to be someone to keep an eye on over the next season or two.
It's funny because every single team in the league picked like an exciting receiver in the 2nd round, if other than the 3 teams that picked one in the 1st round. And Chenault's definitely up there. He's like absolutely electric. Great yak guy. But like, some of these guys have to be busts. So unless like we were just in the golden era of receivers, like, it was such a stacked, like, A-minus receiver class. I'm fascinated to see. You know, you guys picked two. Like you mentioned, Colin Johnson is more of a project. Chenault is, you know, possible that he'll, you know, be on the field for, you know, starter snaps this year. But we'll see.
Yeah, in short term, Laviska Shenault could be definitely, like, our wide receiver, too. He's definitely a guy that could be good this season, no doubt.
Alex.
Yes.
All right.
What's your take on the 4.5 over under?
Yeah. So the 4.5 is such a low number.
Such a low number.
Over.
It's hard to,
because like if you said 6.5, it's well, like, then, well, this team sucks. Yeah. But 5.5, I still think I would at bare minimum not spend money on the under. But yeah, 4.5, I'm going over.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, somebody's gonna go 2-14, but it's not usually the team you're expecting.
Yeah. And you can't guarantee. I mean, like, it's not like they're in a loaded division or anything.
I mean, who would have seen Gardner Minshew coming last year? So who knows what, who they could produce this year that can sort of similarly sort of outperform expectations and give them sort of NFL caliber performance.
We've been doing this a lot. Can we get AFC South quarterback rankings? Mike, do you want to do that?
Yeah. I'm probably going to put Deshaun Watson first.
Mm-hmm.
Then Phillip Rivers, Ryan Tannehill, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I don't think
not
there's
a lot of debate.
There's not really a ton of debate.
2 and 3, some might swap, but that's about it.
Right, if you want to think like Rivers is washed. But Alex is on the – we haven't done a Titans podcast yet when we speak, but Alex is really on the Tannehill's going to fall down back to earth. You were already on that in January.
Yeah. Same thing with Foles. You know, you can't give these guys these massive contracts based on – there's a reason that you got these guys for literally nothing, right? Tannehill was signed for $2 million in the offseason as a backup because nobody wanted him. Yeah. And he has a great run. And admittedly, it was a great run, and it was much longer and more substantive than anything
I think Tannehill's – there are similar – I do think, like, Tannehill has had more problems staying on the field and staying healthy. And, like, his baseline is not that low. Like, I do think Tannehill's going to be worst-case scenario if he wants to be. Like a McCown Fitzpatrick guy who like is a starter for like one of the worst teams every year.
Well, that's not a guy you give $118 million to.
I agree, of course.
By the way, that's not true. Can I tell you his games played? Ryan Tannehill, 16 starts, 16 starts, 16 starts, 16 starts, 13 starts, 11 starts. And then last year, once he became the starter, he started every game.
Didn't he miss a full year?
No, he's missed. Oh, excuse me. Yes, he missed all of 2017. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he never really came back from that in 2018.
Yeah,
why they got rid of him.
But 2018, his numbers weren't terrible. Yeah, but Miami.
Who's the best coach he ever had before Vrabel? Like, you know, who's the best receiver he ever
played with? Adam Gase. Yeah, I don't know.
So you know what I mean? Like, there are
reasons.
He had
Brandon Marshall 1 year, didn't he?
Yes, there are reasons to think that he might be.
Listen, you're still trying to back up. What was it? Your 2016 Super Bowl pick? What year was that?
Yeah,
2015. I don't know what year you picked him to.
Yeah, well, yeah. We have Adam Gase now.
2016, that's the year that they had the playoff game against the Steelers, right?
Who, Miami?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay,
Have we been bombed yet? We might not actually be at 32 minutes. I don't know.
All right, I think we've probably been bombed. All right, Mike, thank you so much for joining us.